Welcome to Outbeat Now, part of Outbeat Radio on KRCB FM Santa Rosa. Outbeat Radio is produced by, for, and about the LGBT community of Sonoma County and airs each and every Sunday at 8 p.m. I'm Jeff Basham, and I'm joined by my co-host, Greg Maroya. This month, Greg and I are continuing coverage of the gay youth suicides from last year and talking about the It Gets Better project, which was started by columnist Dan Savage. Thousands of homemade videos have been submitted via YouTube to the It Gets Better project to encourage gay youth who are battling tough times in their lives. Greg and I are very excited to welcome Dan Savage to discuss this inspiring project and his work during the second half of tonight's show. Before Dan, we'll be focusing on another organization doing excellent work in this area, the Trevor Project. Phoenix Snyder will be joining us to give us a glimpse into the nation's only 24-hour GLBT youth suicide hotline. All that and more during the next hour here on Outbeat Now, right after the Outbeat Radio News.
Good evening, this is Greg Moralia with your Outbeat Radio News for Sunday, March 25th, 2012. This week, the Napa Valley's LGBTQ project dominated local news, starting last week with the first ever meeting of all Gay Straight Alliance students, teachers, and supporters from Napa's middle and high schools. 40 attendees met with the purpose of building a community of GSAs, networking, and giving them the tools to run a more effective organization at their own school sites. Brody Azevedo, who is one of the program coordinators for the LGBTQ project, said, "It was so incredible to have representation from 10 local schools at our very first meeting in the history of Napa County. It was exciting to see youth and adults from different campuses being able to feed off of each other's energy and generate new ideas on how to create a safer and more inclusive community." The Napa LGBTQ project plans to offer ongoing GSA support and quarterly meetings for the foreseeable future. Another initiative of Napa's LGBTQ project is the bringing together of LGBT seniors. The project estimates that there are over 1,000 lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender seniors living in Napa County. Many are in the closet or hard to find. The Napa LGBTQ project is launching monthly gatherings to create a place where LGBT older adults can feel safe and to be who they are, meet others, have lively discussion, and tell their life stories. Everyone is welcome. Those in the closet don't need to worry because discretion and confidentiality will be practiced. Ian Stanley, the Napa LGBT Project's program director, said, "We started out helping LGBT youth through our nonprofit group, On the Move. We decided to offer training to institutions and organizations across Napa Valley in an effort to make them aware of the needs of LGBTQ individuals. The needs of LGBT seniors came to light because we learned LGBT seniors are 5 times less likely to access services than other age groups. Queer youth and LGBT seniors actually have quite a bit in common despite their age differences. Like young people, seniors are often forced to live in the closet, even though they may have been out for most of their lives, just to survive in less than accepting living situations. We're trying to teach the county as a whole about the needs of LGBT seniors and hope the new senior group will help us do just that." The first senior group meeting is scheduled for April 3rd from 10:30 a.m. until noon at the Queen of the Valley Medical Center Community Outreach Building at 3448 Villa Lane, Suite 102 in Napa. The location has street and lot parking, is wheelchair accessible, and is on major transportation routes. There is no charge for participation. And this group will continue to meet on the first Tuesday of each month. Now here's your calendar of events for the coming week. On Tuesday, March 27th at 1:30 p.m., the Santa Rosa Senior Group will meet at the Glacier Center in Santa Rosa. And also on Tuesday at 6:30 p.m., the Transgender North Bay Group will take place at the Positive Images Center, 312 Chin Street in Santa Rosa. And on Thursday at 6:30 p.m., the Men's Peer-to-Peer HIV Support Group will meet at the Face-to-Face Building, 873 2nd Street in Santa Rosa. And on Sunday, April 1st, from 11 a.m. until 3 p.m., the Russian River Sisters will present Fools Rush In, a Polar Plunge for Pride. This will take place at the R3 Hotel in Guerneville. All proceeds from the event will go to support the 2012 Sonoma County Pride Celebration. So come on out and donate money to coax your favorite sister or local celebrity into jumping into the R3's very icy pool. If you have news or an event you'd like to share with our listeners, be sure to tell us about it by going to our own website at outbeatradio.com. Just click on Outbeat News. For Gary Carnevale, I'm Greg Moralia.
Thanks, Greg. Welcome back to Outbeat Now. This is Jeff Basham. Many of you will remember the rash of gay youth suicides from last fall. We wanted to feature some of the most prominent news clips that we've all seen and heard over and over that many times break our hearts. We've intertwined words and music from songs that were written as tribute to the lives lost and the battles endured by all gay youth. Please join us for a few minutes as we pay tribute and remember.
We are saddened to report to you tonight that Tehachapi teen Seth Walsh died today. The family says he was taken off life support system sometime this afternoon. Walsh attempted suicide at his home more than a week ago.
If you can see through the darkness, use my light, I'll be fine. This is so familiar, because I've been there. One foot in front of the other, everything will be okay. Please believe me, stay strong and you will say.
We've done a lot of reporting over the years on bullying, but in the last couple of weeks, we've seen a number of new, heartbreaking examples of just how dangerous it can be. Little kids who have killed themselves after being tormented. Just last night, if you're watching the program, I talked to the parents of this little boy, 13-year-old Asher Brown. He lived in Texas. He shot himself to death 1 week ago. His stepdad found his little body in the bottom of a closet. His parents say Asher was constantly bullied by four other kids because he was small and because he was gay. The story I want to talk about now, though, is a kind of bullying unlike anything we've seen with little kids. Take a look at a picture of 18-year-old Tyler Clemente. He just started his freshman year at Rutgers University in New Jersey. He was a talented violinist. Today, a medical examiner confirmed that a body pulled out of the Hudson River yesterday is Tyler's. He committed suicide, apparently, by jumping off the George Washington Bridge. Now, on the day of his suicide, it looks like Clemente posted a note on his Facebook page. It said simply, "Jumping off the GW Bridge. Sorry."
He wears a coat of many colors. It suits him perfectly. It was woven by his mother, who knows him intimately. But he can't. Tomorrow's, he tries to act naturally, but the nightmares start to follow. Two lives live separately. He just wants to be.
Billy Lucas of Greensburg, Indiana, was just 15 years old when bullying pushed him over the edge.
Tonight, his mom talks about those final days, those final moments.
I said, "We have to put the horses out." He said, "I'll put the horses out."
Those were some of the final words Ann Lucas heard from her son, Billy. He was upset and had gone out to the barn.
I ran to the store. I was probably gone anywhere from 15 to 18 minutes, 3 miles. Came back, it was daylight, the sun was shining. I waited about 40 minutes, and here we are.
Her son committed suicide in the barn.
He takes in all his troubles, he holds on desperately to that coat of many colors, but it's the red that he sees.
DeGeneres.
Something must be done. This month alone, there have been a shocking number of news stories about teens who have been teased and bullied and then committed suicide, like 13-year-old Seth Walsh in Tehachapi, California, 13-year-old Asher Brown in Cypress, Texas, and 15-year-old Billy Lucas in Greensburg, Indiana. This needs to be a wake-up call to everyone that teenage bullying and teasing is an epidemic in this country and the death rate is climbing. One life lost in this senseless way is tragic. Four lives lost is a crisis. And these are just the stories we hear about. How many other teens have we lost? How many others are suffering in silence? Being a teenager and figuring out who you are is hard enough without someone attacking you.
It don't seem right, all the dirt they kick in your direction just for being different. What good is freedom if we can't live a life that's different? It gets better, I swear. It gets better, but you gotta stick around to make it there. It's hard to stand on your own, but you're stronger than you know. It gets better. It gets better, I swear. I know you're lonely, but please know that you're not the only kid out there who's been in that spot. My friends and I made it through, and we're doing fine.
Madonna.
I am incredibly disturbed and saddened by the overwhelming number of teen suicides that have been reported lately because of bullying. I mean, suicide in general is disturbing. Teenagers committing suicide is extremely disturbing, but to hear that children, teenagers are taking their lives because they're being bullied in schools and dormitories, what have you, is kind of unfathomable.
Let them be your shelter from the rain. But if you feel you need to hide to come out the other side, well, that's okay too. Whatever gets you through, 'cause it gets better, I swear. It gets better, but you've gotta stick around to make it there. It's hard to stand on your own, but you're stronger than you know. It gets better. It gets better, I swear. It gets better. It gets better, I swear.
This is Jeff Basham. During the last few minutes, we've featured music by Jeffrey Alterdott, Chris Salvatore, and Harvey Clock, as well as news clips and TV footage from Anderson Cooper, CNN, Ellen DeGeneres, and various other sources.
Thanks, Jeff. Well, our first guest tonight is a program director from the Trevor Project. Phoenix Schneider has been working with the Trevor Project since 2007, managing volunteers, providing youth counseling services, and administering some of Trevor's many projects. Phoenix, welcome to Outbeat Radio.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Tell us the story of Trevor and how the Trevor Project organization emerged.
Absolutely. It's a great story. So back in the 90s, James Lacine is one of our founders, and he's a writer. He wrote a play called Trevor. It's about a young boy, 13, who is gay, and he comes out to his best friend, who decides to out him to all of his peers at school. And he experiences rejection from his friends, and he's, you know, having a difficult time coping with that rejection, and he makes an attempt to end his life. So the story, the play, was going on for a long time when one day in the audience, two other folks who happened to be our other two founders were in the audience, they're producers, and they decided to turn the play into a short film. And it was such a great film that it ended up winning an Academy Award for Best Live Action Short in 1994. 4 years later, HBO decided to air it, and they were so excited that, you know, that young people would be able to see this, and they wanted to display a lifeline that lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, and questioning youth could see at the end of the film. There was nothing like that out there. And so they looked around, they did their research, and they saw a lot of hotlines and helplines for adults and for youth, but nothing specifically for queer youth. And that's when the Trevor Project was born. And so in 1998, we started the Trevor Project, and we launched the Trevor Lifeline, which is now the only nationwide 24/7 crisis intervention and suicide prevention lifeline for LGBTQ youth.
A year ago, the media really picked up on the number of LGBT youth suicides in the country, and it seemed like an epidemic. But from all the statistical data, this isn't a new problem.
Absolutely not. This has been going on for a long time. Young people, die by suicide far more often than people realize or perhaps even want to recognize. And what happens is when the media picks up a story or, multiple stories about young people taking their lives, it has the tendency to increase awareness and make people think that perhaps this is a new problem. But this has been going on for a long time. Unfortunately, these tragedies have been happening for many years. And if you don't know already, LGBT youth are up to 4 times more likely to make a suicide attempt than their straight peers. And suicide is also the third leading cause of death among youth between the age of 15 and 24, also the second leading cause of death among college students. So we as a society really need to, think of the media, they pick their topic, whatever the hot topic is of the month or of the year. We need to make sure that we all recognize this as a problem that needs to be addressed on an ongoing basis. Even if it's not in the media, this is still a problem, and we all need to do a better job.
Tell us about the services the Trevor Project provides.
Sure, I'd love to. So I mentioned earlier the Trevor Project's signature program, the Lifeline, is the only nationwide, around-the-clock crisis intervention and suicide prevention lifeline for LGBTQ youth and young adults. And we're available, as I said, it's 24/7. It's free and confidential. Anybody can call in from anywhere. It can be a cell phone, a landline, a payphone, and it's completely confidential. On the other end of the line is a counselor who's trained to listen and to support this person who's in crisis, or you can call in, a young person can call in to talk about anything that's going on in their life.
What an important resource for young people. And last year you opened a call center in San Francisco. Can you tell us about how that all came to be and where it's located?
Sure, it was very exciting. We were looking to expand and open a new call center, and we discovered that HRC had their action store right there in the historic Castro Camera store. And so we made a decision to partner with HRC and open our Harvey Milk call center. And it seemed serendipitous at the time. And after we took our very first call on Harvey Milk Day last year, we just knew that we were meant to be in that space and to have our call center in that space.
Who staffs the call centers and what kind of training do they receive?
We have a full-time crisis services manager, and we have about 15 staff and volunteers who field those calls overnight. They go through a 40-hour rigorous training. They learn how to take calls from youth experiencing a range of issues. And most importantly, they learn to talk to youth without judgment and without giving advice. They're really there to listen and to empower young people to decide what's best for them. Ultimately, people know what's best for them, and we're just there to act as a guide and to help explore some of those options.
Are you looking for volunteers?
Always, always. We are looking for volunteers. Volunteers are the lifeline of this organization. And to get involved, folks just need to visit our website. Again, it's www.thetrevorproject.org. Click on the volunteer tab to see all of our opportunities, and then submit an online application.
For our listeners out there who may be concerned about a young person they know, what are the signs and symptoms that may indicate a person may be suicidal?
Sure, it's a good question, and I'll talk about a few things to look out for. One is a person who is expressing suicidal feelings. So a person might say things like, I want to die, I wish my life were over, life isn't worth living, no one cares about me, there's no reason for me to be here anymore. So certainly someone making direct statements about wanting to end their life is a warning sign. Another warning sign is a person who says that they have a plan for suicide. And so I think you know, if someone says to you that they want to die, they don't want to be here, take it seriously. And to, you know, ask them if they've thought about how they would do it. If they have a plan that's going to put someone at higher risk for making a suicide attempt. Another thing that you may hear from a person is that they don't want to hold on to things that are important to them. So they start giving things away, like their favorite iPod or CD collection, something that's important to them. And they ask you if you'd like to take that off of their hands, or they just start giving it away. Making final arrangements, certainly a note, writing a suicide note, or offering to give someone keys even to take care of a cat or a dog and saying, you know, just in case something happens to me, really listening for those cues, along with some signs of depression. We're looking for someone who says that they used to love basketball or dancing or going out with their friends on the weekends, and they no longer, you know, want to do this. They don't feel any pleasure in the activities they used to enjoy. No longer do they, you know, wish to continue to be on that sport team or be in the drama club or whatever it is that they love to do. They pull away. They don't feel motivated, so there's a lack of motivation. Perhaps there are changes in their eating and sleeping patterns, eating more than usual or less than usual, sleeping more, having trouble sleeping. All of these things are signs of depression. Someone who isolates, who used to love to hang out after school with their friends or, again, go to the movies or on the weekends or whatever it may be, no longer wishes to hang out with their friends or engage in any activities that they once loved to do and are isolating inside, staying in their room, not wanting to go to school, things like that.
Should you ever ask someone directly if they're thinking of harming themselves?
I think it's a good idea to ask direct questions. Sometimes, you know, I think suicide is hard to talk about. It's not a common topic in the household, at school. I mean, it doesn't come up very often. I think it's important to ask the direct question instead of saying, are you thinking of harming yourself? Because harm can have many definitions depending on the person. I think that asking a direct question, are you thinking of killing yourself? Are you thinking about suicide? If you're concerned that a person's suicidal, asking the question will not put any ideas into that person's head. If someone thinks that it will, it doesn't. That person's been thinking about it. It's something that's been on their mind for some time. And asking the question can be really powerful and help you get the answer that you need so that you can get that person the help that they need.
And so if the person says yes, what's the best response?
If the person says yes, of course, the first thing you want to do if you're there in person is, you know, really, or if you're on the phone, you want to validate that person's feelings and tell, you know, say something to the effect of, you know, this person must be going through a really difficult time. You know, hug that person, be there for that person, really listen to them. Take it seriously. At the Trevor Project, we use an acronym called CARE to help folks to identify the steps that need to be taken to, you know, when a person is in crisis, feeling suicidal. Things that a person can do is first connect. You can connect that person to the resources that they need and to a supportive, trusted adult. Identifying at least one person that someone can connect with is extremely important. That could be a friend, a family member. It doesn't have to be a parent or guardian. It could be a sibling, a close cousin, or someone at school, that teacher or guidance counselor or school counselor, even a neighbor, just a coach, anybody, an adult that you think that this person can trust. And then the A in CARE is for accept. It's really accepting the person's feelings as they are, taking them seriously, listening. We train our counselors to listen, to actively listen. It's the bulk of the call, really listening to where the person's at. If your friend or a friend is in crisis, the best thing you can do is listen to them and say that, you know, you care about them and you care about their safety. And I know that, you know, for a lot of people, we want to help someone right away, right? We want to tell them it's going to get better. We want to tell them, if they just had a breakup, that there are other people out there, that things are going to be different, and that, you know, there are hundreds of people out there that you can date. Now, I think that it's normal, it's natural to want to tell your friend or tell someone you care about that it's going to get better. And certainly, you know, the It Gets Better campaign is a very powerful campaign that's helped thousands of people. One thing that we are careful about is not promising someone that it is going to get better. And for that person that's in that place where, you know, they don't feel like it's going to get better, sometimes it's not beneficial for them to hear that. So something that you can say to someone that's having a hard time is, you know, it can get better. Right now it feels like it's really hard that it's not going to get better. And it's hard to see the light at the end of the tunnel. Let's talk about some ways that we can make it better right now. And so it's helping that person to identify their strengths and identify resources and supports that can help them to get through the hard time now. What can we do now? And so responding is the R in care. It's about responding to someone who says that they have a plan, who says that they're feeling suicidal and they have a plan to make an attempt, and telling someone you trust. Not holding that information in, okay? So it's identifying that person, that teacher again, or that friend, or that neighbor, that coach, telling someone that this person's in crisis. Now, what's important to keep in mind is a person who identifies as lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender may not be out or want to be outed. And so being mindful of that when you do tell an adult that you trust that your friend is having a hard time, to not disclose their sexual orientation or gender identity, but to just disclose that the person may be depressed or having a hard time. You're concerned. You're concerned about the well-being of that person. And finally, the E in care is to empower. And it's all about empowering that person to get the help they need, providing them with the resources and helping them to identify people in their life that they can trust, but then empowering them to determine what's best for them. What will work for them. In the end, you know, we can only do so much to help someone who we care about who's having a hard time. We can't force them to get the help they need. But we certainly can tell them that it's okay to have these feelings. It's okay that you're feeling down. And it's okay to ask for help. And it's a really cool thing to help someone get the help they need and help them identify someone, walk them to the guidance office, or to the emergency room if needed. That is an okay thing. It's a good thing to help someone having a hard time.
The Trevor Project is truly an amazing organization doing such important work. How can our listeners get more information about how to support the organization?
Sure. So, of course, they can, you know, if they're interested in volunteering, we have a lot of opportunities and I think enough opportunities to meet the needs of anyone with any type of schedule. So if you're looking to volunteer for, you know, an hour a week, a couple hours a week, or a few hours a month, certainly go to our website, check out our resources and our volunteer opportunities, and you can apply online. If you are not in a position to volunteer with the organization, you can spread awareness. You can order for free. We send our little wallet-size cards that have our Trevor Lifeline, Trevor Chat, and Trevor Space information right there on the card. And you can keep one in your back pocket, in your wallet, or in your backpack to give to someone who you feel would benefit from that resource. And you can share it with students at your school. And you can do events at school to help raise awareness. Or you can table at local events and conferences to help raise awareness.
And can you give us the website one more time?
Sure thing. www.thetrevorproject.org.
We've been talking with Program Director Phoenix Schneider of the Trevor Project. Phoenix, thanks so much for being with us tonight on Outbeat Radio.
Thank you for having me again.
And we'll be back with Dan Savage and the It Gets Better Project right after this music break.
Hey, friend. When you feel like you're alone and the world throws out a lot of hate,
it's not the end. You're not out there on your own. There's still so much in life to celebrate.
Just look up.
I'm Daniel Radcliffe, and I believe that reaching out for help is the bravest thing a person can do. If you are struggling and need support, call the Trevor Lifeline at 1-866-488-7386. It's free and confidential, and trained counsellors are there to listen 24/7 without judgment. To learn more about the Trevor Project's life-saving work for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, or questioning young people, go to thetrevorproject.org.
You're listening to KRCB-FM, Santa Rosa. And welcome back to this one-hour special edition of Outbeat Now as we continue our look at the LGBT youth suicide problem. Well, many celebrities have taken action in response to the stories of LGBT youth in crisis and in support of the Trevor Project's mission. Dan Savage and his partner Terry Miller also heard this calling and created an internet phenomenon called the It Gets Better Project. With us now is Dan Savage. Dan, welcome to Outbeat Now.
Thanks for having me.
So could you start out by telling us where the idea for the It Gets Better Project came from?
I read about the suicide of Billy Lucas in Greensburg, Indiana, and wrote about it. And someone left it, and I was very angry in my posts about his death and the way he was mocked after death by the same people who had bullied him in suicide. I'd written something about him, and a commenter on my blog left a note for Billy that said, "I wished I'd known you and been able to tell you that things get better. Rest in peace." And that stuck in my head because things really have gotten so much better for LGBT people, you know, at the micro level, many of us in our own lives, at the macro level for us politically and socially. But there's a lot of LGBT kids out there who are isolated and bullied and you know, they may know that they're gay adults, lesbian, bi, and trans adults out there who are leading fulfilling lives, who are reconciled to families, or loved by their families, but they don't know how you get to be one of those adults, because that path isn't illuminated for them. And I sincerely feel that, you know, when a LGBT kid kills himself or herself, part of what that kid is saying is they can't imagine a future with enough joy in it to compensate for the pain they're in now. And I felt that by, you know, making this video and encouraging other LGBT adults to do the same, we could share our joy, give them hope, as Harvey Milk told us to, you got to give them hope for their futures, and also illuminate that path. You know, you think of kids who are bullied because of their race, their class, their religion, and they go home to parents of the same race, same class, same religion, who can help them through that stage of life, who they can open up to often about the bullying they're facing, whose parents are going to advocate for them. All too often, LGBT kids go home to more bullying at the hands of their families, at the hands of their parents, which is the most destructive bullying of all. And so what we wanted to do was provide LGBT kids with that adult perspective, a picture of a future potential life for themselves, and also our coping mechanisms, our advice about how to get through it, how to make it better for themselves in the here and now. And hope, again, like Harvey Milk said, you got to give them hope. You got to give them an image of a future that's happier than where they're at right now for some of these kids.
Right. Well, and some of the videos that have come through from both, you know, amateurs as well as professionals and celebrities, they're truly amazing. Is there any one that or two that happened to stand out for you as being a favorite?
There are two from pretty early in the campaign. Gabriel Rivera's video, where she said, and I'm going to quote her, "It doesn't get better. What happens is you get stronger." I thought that was really, really brilliant. And she was, you know, that video has always been running on the website, and she was the first person we contacted when we decided to do a book about including her her comments, you know, in an essay form. And A.R. Darling, who's an African-Canadian kid in college up in Canada, you know, made a video where she talked about growing up in a small town and being black and being a lesbian and feeling like there was no one out there for her and no one out there who understood her or who was on her side. And she talks about getting to college and finding out that the university that she was attending happened to have the oldest LGBT and allied group in Canada, North America, actually. And what she said, what I thought was so profound, was, you know, those years when she felt so isolated and that there was nobody out there for her, that those people who would love and accept her were out there all along. They just hadn't met her yet. And when she found them, she found her place, she found support and love. And what she was saying to LGBT kids was, "We're out here, we're waiting for you, we can't wait to meet you. And you're not alone, you just haven't found us yet, but we're here." And I thought that was really profound.
Yeah, and I remember Gabriel's statement you mentioned, you know, as really being a standout statement in the TV show recently that was on Logo. That really struck me as well.
Yes, I'm the one who pushed for that to be included. What's funny is sometimes people will cite Gabriel's video as, you know, "Oh, that's the truth. That's not what the It Gets Better campaign has ever said." We've been saying that from the start, and promoting Gabriel's video and her perspective from the start. It does get, you know, one of the problems, one of the criticisms of the campaign is it's passive. It gets better. You don't have to do anything. Just hang out, wait. It gets better. But even from the very first video, mine and Terry's, we talk about how we changed our lives, what we did to make changes and to, you know, demand the love and respect of our families. It doesn't get better if you get hit by lightning. It's better because you come out and start to live and make changes and make demands. And that's, I think, really clear in Gabriel's video. Right. And that's why I love it.
Great. And I know one of the organizations that produced a video recently that I think is spectacular is the San Francisco Police Department. I think they're the first police department to actually produce an It Gets Better video, and it was brilliant. What are some of the other organizations out there that you've seen that sort of surprised you that stepped forward?
The Chicago Cubs.
Yeah.
That blew me away. I grew up on the north side of Chicago, not far from Cubs Field. Would be dragged there as a little sissy boy by my father sometimes and with my brothers. And, you know, to have the Cubs come down on the side of the LGBT kids is meaningful and profound. You know, and Pixar's video, Google's video are really amazing. But for me, the most important videos are still and always the videos by average, everyday, ordinary LGBT people that no one's ever heard of. or heard of before, like Gabriel. You know, we welcome, absolutely welcome the corporate videos, which, you know, feature average, everyday, ordinary people who work at Pixar, work at Google, you know, that no one's ever met before, telling their stories very movingly. But for me, and my money, you know, the politicians' videos, the celebrities' videos, they're great, they're important, but right. It's the stories of average folks that I really feel are changing lives.
Well, tell us a little about how the It Gets Better project is working with the Trevor Project.
Well, we've thrown a lot of money up. one of the things that happened early in the campaign was, you know, it sort of took fire, and then people started sending us checks and wanting to have fundraisers. And early on, It Gets Better was a YouTube account, which is free, and my email inbox, which already existed and was free. We didn't need the money, so we started turning around and donating the money people were giving us to Trevor, to GLSEN, and to the ACLU's youth project, the LGBT youth project. And, you know, we support Trevor. A lot of the videos cite Trevor. You know, there's a lot of videos at the It Gets Better campaign that end with, you know, if you're in despair and crisis, please call the Trevor Project. We, you know, our videos play a particular role and you know, with a particular goal, but we can't do suicide intervention and crisis intervention. That's what Trevor does. And there were some, you know, people were like, when we started, like, oh, you know, it's so prominent, you guys should start a suicide prevention hotline, you guys should do this, you guys should do that. And we didn't want to, I was particularly adamant about not duplicating the services provided by other organizations and instead supporting those organizations.
Right, right. Well, the collection of videos continues to grow every day. I mean, there's new videos that people are posting on the site all the time. If someone out there has been thinking about creating a video, either individually or with an organization, how would they go about doing that?
Well, all you have to do is make the video. It's an open source project. You don't have to submit raw video to us to approve. You just have to create a video, create a YouTube account, upload it to your own YouTube account. You can go to itgetsbetter.org then to upload it to the It Gets Better site. We also keep an eye on YouTube and search to find videos that people have uploaded. We estimate that there are 50,000 videos now, and when you consider that some videos, like the San Francisco Police Department videos or Pixar's videos, my friend Philip Dawkins in Chicago made a video. When he came out, he lost all of his friends. And one of the things he was told was he would never have friends if he was gay, and he made a video that's really moving of him and all of his friends now, and all these people saying, I'm a friend Philip Dawkins. And so there, you know, there's probably 100 people in that video. So when you think about it, there's actually probably 1 million people or more who've participated already in the campaign in these videos. So you just upload your video, put it up, upload it to the site, and you're in. It's really that simple. It's not a big ask.
And these stories just aren't available on the internet. Tell us about the It Gets Better book.
But we were really aware that not all kids have access to the internet. Not all kids can risk creating an incriminating browser history. Kids whose families are homophobic or parents are bullying them can't get online and watch these videos on their parents' computers. And so we wanted to create another way to reach them, which was the book, which has been donated to thousands and thousands of middle school and high school libraries all over the country, and has been purchased by libraries, regular libraries all over the country. And kids can then access these stories by pulling this book off the shelf, by sitting in a library, by reading it and leaving it there. You know, you talk to librarians, and I have friends who are librarians, who say this is always true, that young people will come in, will sneak into the section of the stacks or the shelves where books on homosexuality or gay issues or gay life are, and take them to another part of the library, read them and leave them there, because they can't check them out. They can't take them home, but they still need to access that information and that support, and that's why we wanted to do the book.
Great, great. Earlier this month, I watched the It Gets Better special that was shown on MTV and Logo. Tell us about the show and how it came to be.
We probably reached more people in that hour on MTV and Logo than we've reached so far. And we were thrilled that MTV wanted to do this show. And we were thrilled by the stories we were able to tell, Aiden, Vanessa, and Greg's stories. And they really made clear, and you had three kids basically at three different stages of, I've always called it the hero's journey, you know, people call it the coming out process. It's really a hero's journey. You had three young people at three different stages. Greg, who was just coming out. Aiden, who'd long been out and was, you know, getting on with life in an important way. But still, you know, what his story showed was there's always more to do.
Right.
You're never really done coming out. And then Vanessa's story, which really was for me the heart and soul of it, we caught something on film that you don't really see, which is the follow-up work that you have to do with your family. You come out to your family, and often what happens, you get some sort of conditional love and acceptance, bare tolerance, and you then have to push through that. You have to break through that. You have to, like I said earlier, make demands on your family. You have to stand up for yourself and demand their full love, full acceptance. And the show captured that. And really, so, you know, that It Gets Better show on MTV was about, you know, these two guys and this girl and what they did to change their lives, what they did to make it better for themselves. And I thought it was really empowering and really beautiful.
Yeah, and I thought it was very well done. And I think
you
picked the right stories, and really the idea of three different stages, three different points of the quote-unquote coming out process, or the journey, as you called it, were told very well. So I know you're working with a lot of different organizations, including one of our partnering organizations, Campus Pride. Tell us more about this.
Well, we're just trying to work with as many groups as we can. You know, we're working with Campus Pride. College is, what's ironic, you know, as Terry said in the very first It Gets Better video, it got better for him the moment he got out of high school. For so many young people, the moment you get out of high school, whether you go to college, which Terry did not, whether you go to college or not, it gets better after you get out of that, you know, hellish environment that so many high schools are. But college universities are really where, you know, most universities have anti-bullying programs, most universities have LGBT rights protections. Once you get to university, a lot of the behaviors of the bullies that might be tolerated or might make your life hell in high school actually get the bullies expelled in college. So to communicate that to young people, which Campus Pride does, and we wanted to, I think, you know, give them hope, like Harvey Milk told us to. But it really is GLSEN, Trevor, and the ACLU that we've worked with the closest. You know, Trevor's there to talk kids off the ledge, and GLSEN is there to make middle school and high school environments less toxic. So we have fewer LGBT kids crawling out onto the ledge in the first place. And the ACLU is the hammer. And the ACLU doesn't get the credit it deserves from the LGBT community, because most of the work that they do, no one ever hears about. We all heard about their work with Constance McMillan, who was that lesbian in Mississippi who was barred from prom, and they canceled prom, and then they scheduled a fake prom, and the ACLU led that charge and sued that school, and everybody heard about it. But the ACLU is constantly coming down on schools that are discriminating against LGBT kids, barring the formation of gay-straight alliances illegally. That is illegal to bar the formation of a gay-straight alliance. And all it takes is the ACLU taking that case seriously and getting a lawyer on it and having the lawyer write and call the school, and then the school backs down. And those stories don't make the news. And so most of the good that the ACLU does for LGBT kids out there, no one ever hears about, which is why we talk about it a lot, as I just did, and why we made them one of the beneficiaries of the money that we were raising.
Good. Well, I'm sure all those organizations appreciate your support. Well, let's break for a minute and hear a bit of the audio from the San Francisco Police Department's It Gets Better video.
Hi, my name is Greg Sir, and I'm the Chief of Police for the San Francisco Police Department. I was a smallish young man here in San Francisco, and I'd get bullied all the time, even though I had many brothers and sisters, and I really, really appreciated when people stick up for me. I can't even imagine what it's like growing up as an LGBT youth today. And nobody deserves to be taunted or bullied. It does get better, and until it does, we here in the San Francisco Police Department are gonna stick up for you. Believe me, it gets better.
My name is Andrea Weil.
My name is Wendy Bear, and I am a sergeant.
I am a commander.
And I'm a sergeant with the San Francisco Police Department.
911 dispatcher for San Francisco.
Officer Mari Noguchi.
My name is Michelle Martinez, and I am a commander with the San Francisco Police Department.
My name is Broderick Elton.
And I'm a police officer commander.
And I'm an officer with the
San Francisco Police Department.
I grew up in New York City.
Houston, Texas, outside Manhattan.
Grew up in Southern California.
I am a native cheesehead.
My father was a Sicilian man.
My mother is Italian Catholic.
My mom is from Japan, and she says she is made in Japan.
I was a bit of a tomboy, not a bit, of kind of a full-fledged tomboy.
They got very, very awkward and strange for me because apparently I was a girl then,
and I had to start trying to act like one, look like one.
My choice of dress was always jeans and Converse tennis shoes, and my girlfriends would be checking out the guys and I'd be checking out the girls.
I had these really close friendships with my best girlfriends and, you know, was hiding from my senior prom date.
There was never somebody that I could talk to because I always thought I was different.
I would say by the age of 5, 6, I already knew that I should kind of keep it on the down low. I knew absolutely that I wasn't supposed to talk about it.
I had thoughts of suicide. I was depressed.
Mostly the message was that there's something wrong with me and I should just die.
It just didn't feel good to not want what I thought everybody should want.
It just made me angry.
There was still a part of me that was a little bit ashamed.
When the pain got too bad in the pit of my stomach, I realized I needed to tell my parents.
Mom, I think I'm gay. And she says, I think I knew that. I think it was harder for me to tell my mom than it was for my mom to hear what I had to say.
I was a police officer for about 4 years, thinking that I was the only gay male police officer in the world. I actually believed that I was the only gay male police officer in the world.
My whole world suddenly opened up.
Telling that first person was a big deal.
After the first few people, I just started acting like it was, everybody should know this. Bing, I'm gay.
Ah, this is who I am.
I'll never forget this. So I open the door, oh my gosh, my dad's out there, and he looks at me and he says, I'm so sorry if I ever said fag.
My life now is great.
Okay, I can actually be me.
I would have missed the first time being held by someone I love, loving. I would have missed experiencing the joy and jubilation of just life, of people who show me amazing new things all the time, new ways to think and new ways to look at the world.
I never foresaw being a police officer because I thought it was always something that I couldn't do.
Things keep getting better for me.
It does get better, and until it gets better.
I will help you, and I will protect you, and I will listen.
We're here to help make your transition as smooth as possible.
It does get better.
Oh, it gets better.
You have so many people that are just like you, that are going through the same struggles you are.
Things start getting better as soon as you reach out to other people.
So Dan, tell us your hopes for the future of the project.
Well, we hope to continue to get videos. We hope that people realize that participating in the project or the existence of the project doesn't excuse or preclude us from doing more. We've never said the It Gets Better Project has the power to end bullying or even end suicide. There have been more suicides. It is a lifeline that we're throwing, but we need to pass Al Franken's Student Non-Discrimination Act. We need to make sure all schools have anti-bullying programs that address anti-LGBT bullying. We need to push for accountability when kids are bullied. We need to make sure that parents, supportive parents, understand that when their kids are assaulted, physically assaulted in the school by bullies, the first people you go to are the police, not the principal. You go straight to the police first, and you file a criminal complaint, and then you go to the school. Those three things will help change the environments, I believe, in the schools. But for us going forward, we want to do what we're continuing to do, which is gather these stories and then make sure people know where to find them. You know, we've benefited from so much free media over the last, 18, it's only been 18 months, a year and a half. And so a lot of kids have found their way to itgetsbetter.org and to the videos because, it's on MTV and it's in People magazine, it's on the news. People are talking about it. You know, in 5 or 6 years, there are going to be kids who are 8 or 9 years old now who are going to need to hear these stories who may not find out about them because it won't be getting as much attention. And we want to be able to do some outreach and advertising then to let them know we exist and let them know these stories are out there. And these, perspectives and advice and coping mechanisms and, skill sets that we developed navigating middle school and high school are out there for them to access.
Great. Well, tell us where people can go to learn more about the It Gets Better project.
All you have to do is go to itgetsbetter.org, and you will find the videos and information about the campaign and how you can participate, how you can create a video, and the creation of new videos really is important. You know, sometimes people roll their eyes and say, "Oh, isn't this over? Isn't it done?" And then a video like the San Francisco Police Department video comes along, and people remember how powerful these videos can be and how powerful this movement is, and how much it means that, you know, everybody from, you know, the Cubs to the Giants to the Seattle Seahawks, the President of the United States, to the San Francisco to Police Department, to so many straight allies are lining up and saying to LGBT kids, there's nothing wrong with you. There's something wrong with the people telling you there's something wrong with you. That's really powerful, and that message is going to save lives.
Well, you're so right. We've been talking with Dan Savage, the creator of the It Gets Better Project. Dan, thank you so much for being with us tonight.
Thank you so much for helping to spread the word.
And that brings us to the end of our show for tonight. We hope you've learned something about LGBT youth suicide and have been inspired to give your voice of encouragement and support for the young members of our community. Our website has the links for all of the websites and videos we mentioned tonight, as well as one to replay the show for yourself or for someone who may have missed it. Just go to outbeatyouth.com and click on show notes at the top of the page. And remember, you can follow us all month long on MySpace, Facebook, and Twitter. Jeff and I will be back next month on the fourth Sunday of April with another edition of Outbeat Now and Outbeat Youth. Be sure to tune in next Sunday night for Living Proof with Sheridan Gold and Dr. Diana Grayer. That's at 8 p.m. right here on KRCB Radio. We're going to leave you tonight with a special song written by Stephen Schwartz, especially for the San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus and in support of the It Gets Better Project. The chorus debuted the song this week. Here is Testimony.
I would have been